this reading of City View. I'm Barbara Martin. City View is an alternative monthly published in Des Moines, and I will be reading the third episode of this month of February 2024. And I'm going to go back to some of the best of Des Moines eateries, starting with best local bakery, L'Ami Bakery. And this, the readers can't get enough of the French Bakery, which has been one best bakery time and time again. However, it's not just the sweet, buttery, flaky, crispy baked goods that bring people there. They also have soups and omelets and pizzas and sandwich and salad and more to die for. So no matter the time of day, 841 42nd Street in Des Moines. And then we look at the best local barbecue, Smoky D's. Make it six in a row for Smoky D's for the best local barbecue. Established, the establishment is the definition of Iowa barbecue, with more than 90 state barbecue championships and 1,000 local, regional, and national awards. They have one location downtown on the Skywalk, but their main location is at 5055 Northwest 2nd Avenue, Des Moines. Northwest 2nd Avenue. And how about the best local tacos? That goes to Tasty Tacos, garnering runner-up plaudits for best local Mexican food. Tasty Taco takes the cake or the shell for City View readers' choice of best local tacos. Again, the restaurant has received the award every year since its inception, and for good reason. The local chain's pillowy flour shell taco are filled with steak, beef, chicken, or beans for the veggie lovers, and topped with lettuce and cheese. Don't forget to get some for their homemade hot sauce to finish them off. There are multiple locations which you can check out. And the best local bar food goes to Francie's Bar, and that's located 2100 Wakanda View Drive in Des Moines off of Fleur. It's the locally owned and operated Southside Francie's has been open since 1987, serving up good food, drinks, and vibes. Sit inside the classic bar and grill interior, or make your way out into the patio if it's nice enough and enjoy patrons' favorites such as toasted garlic, focaccia bread, bacon cheddar burger, French dip, New York steak and peppers, and much more. And then the best local coffee house, Smoky Row Coffee Company. Just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Smoky Row's original Des Moines store features that can't miss neon sign pointing directly to where you can find City View's readers' favorite cup of joe. They've been spreading their influence across the city with locations opening in most of the city suburbs, all equipped to serve you an award-winning coffee, latte, cappuccino, espresso, and more. And then the best local wine selections can be found, so we say here, at Louis Wine Dive, and that's at 4040 University Avenue. And they say they celebrate great wine, locally sourced cuisine, and the joy of savored moments shared with friends. And then we have the best local caterer, which is Syd's, C-Y-D, apostrophe S, catering. Chef Syd Kane uses Buy Fresh, Buy Local for her catering, and Spanish tapas are a specialty. Meal options from tastes of the Iowa State Fair to Greek feasts have helped earn her readers accolades as best caterer. And that's, you can look that up on cateringbysid.com. And the best donuts are to be found at Hertz Donut Company. And that would be at 5513 Mills Civic Parkway, Suite 105 in West Des Moines. Since they opened up shop in December of 2016, this company has been City View readers' favorite spot for a donut. And since they're open 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, there's really no reason for you to skip out on Hertz. Ring donuts, Long John's, donut holes, cake donuts, Bismarck's, they're all available, and the flavors range from the classics to the wackiest. That's Hertz Donuts. And the best local food truck is Pho Wheels and Sushi. Bursting onto the food truck scene in recent years, Pho Wheels and Sushi provides pho, sushi, and other appetizers on, you guessed it, wheels. And City View readers like what they offer, voting it the best local food truck. With each menu option as tasty as a lass, you might need to be wheeled out yourself because once you start eating here, you won't want to stop. So let's see where they've placed themselves. You can check their Facebook page for updates on where you can find their traditional house rolls to specialties, beef pho or tiramisu rolls from their vegetarian menu. So they are located on Facebook at Pho Wheels and Sushi. And the best local ice cream or gelato shop will be Black Cat Ice Cream, located 2511 Cottage Grove. Make it back-to-back with Black Cat Ice Cream, voted the City View readers as best ice cream and gelato shop. The store name's original origin started with a big, fat, black cat, their words, not ours, Bob Bear. Owners Alex and Angela Carter believe the only way to soften up the street-raised adopted cat was with ice cream, and needless to say, they've accomplished that. Black Cat's ice cream menu is constantly changing, with each flavor just as good as the last. That's 2511 Cottage Grove. I'm going to continue with an article that I started in the last episode about love stories, and we were talking about a young woman who has fallen in love with the dogs and has become a groomer. This is where I kind of started here or picked up with is my first brood dog was Poochie, a red Papillon, and a bomb-proof dog. Kids could pull on her tail and not get her phased. My dad's mom was a small lady who had been knocked over by dogs before as a child and didn't like dogs until she met Poochie. She had to call her Kitty, but she loved her. Now I have delivered 9 years of litters. She had to deliver once by emergency C-section. It was a 24-hour operation. Two of the three pups didn't make it. The third was a girl that I named Harvey, after Son of Sam's dog. The lab that he claimed was host to a demon who spoke to him. I figured that she and I had been to hell and back together. She only weighed 53 grams. She had to be bottle-fed, and I slept with her in the bathroom, which I could sterilize and humidify earlier than other rooms, or easier than other rooms. And after a few days of that, she opened her eyes, she survived, and weighs all of 3 pounds now. She thinks she's a big dog, scared of nothing. That must have been expensive, hey? The author asks. Yeah, the price of a good used car. Sid has memorialized some of her dogs in unusual ways. Yeah, people think my shop is weird, and some people show up there and ask to take photos, but I keep the really weird stuff at home. She cleans the skulls of her dogs and has a room with all of them. One dog she had freeze-dried, and it now resides next to her bed. Her taxidermy collection is museum quality. I think I have a more complete collection than Kabbalah's. Some of their works are replicas. Mine are all original. She has a zebra, a gem spock, which is a South African antelope with 38-inch horns, a Jacob ram with four horns, a Corsican ram, three bears, and a Chinese antelope that looks like a vampire. No buffaloes or polar bears? Well, polar bears are protected now. So, to have one, it needs to be 100 years old. I will not own a buffalo. We white people killed hundreds of them just to starve and subdue the Native Americans. I just won't have one. So, what is your favorite dog story? Hachiko by Kanato Shindo. Richard Gere made it into a movie. The dog is an Atico and follows his master to the train station every day and greets him there every evening on his return commute. After the master dies, the dog still makes the same trek daily. In Tokyo, the story is so revered that they built a statue to Hachi as at one main station. Sounds like something Sid will do someday. Our second love story, entitled Love Will Keep Us Together. Irina Karchenko laughs at the old Yiddish joke, "You know how to make God laugh? Tell him your plans." A wildly unpredictable combination of setbacks and serendipities led her and her husband, Dmitry Ikolvilev, to their new home in central Iowa. The couple met in the Black Sea Resort of Sochi, the host of the 2014 Olympics. Irina moved there with her family from Moscow when she was in the second grade. Sochi has a semi-tropical climate. It's Russia's Florida, so I thought I was done with cold winters, she laughed. Everyone in her family had been teachers, pilots, or engineers, but Irina wanted something more adventurous. I got my college degree in international finance and accounting, she recalled, adding that in 1996, she and Dmitry won a lottery for temporary work visas to Canada. The process of entering Canada was so cumbersome that they spent most of their savings before they even got to Quebec. We were just starting out, and we were broke, homeless, and carless, Karchenko recalls. Neither of us spoke any French and hardly any English. One time I remember that we were painting ceilings, and I could push Dmitry in a shopping cart to go faster. That kind of work kept us eating. Then one day, we got dressed up. Dmitry in a suit and tie, and me in a black dress with stockings and 3-inch heels. I am sure I came off like a crazy European woman. This guy tells us that he has a job for both of us and drives us out of town to the middle of nowhere. Then he tells us the job is to clear a field of stones. So there we are, me driving a tractor in high heels and a cocktail dress, with Dmitry running behind, tossing stones in a cart, wearing a business suit. The couple moved on from Montreal to Vancouver and then Calgary in the next 2 years. We went through half a dozen $100 and $200 cars because that was all we could find, she said, or we could afford. However, three applications to renew their visas were denied. We were going to be deported to Russia unless the U.S. accepted us as refugees. Fortunately, that's what happened, she recalled. They entered the U.S. in Montana and spent 2 years there and in Los Angeles. We always both worked 2 or 3 jobs, mainly trying to pay immigration attorneys. We owed $40,000 at one time. At least in Los Angeles, it was warm enough to sleep in the car. Our last $200 car took us from Montana to L.A. and on to Iowa. When we bought that car, there was grass growing on the dashboard, she recalls. They also worked their first good job in Los Angeles, caring for a house and children of a well-connected medical family. We cooked, cleaned, and babysat. The lady of the family was very nice to us. She invited us to every big medical event in Hollywood. And Los Angeles was fun and comfortable until Irina became pregnant. They then began looking for a place more suitable for starting a family. We heard that Iowa was good for that. We also knew that there was a community of Russians in Postville, so we moved to northeast Iowa. Postville was a scary place then, 7 years before the infamous Postville raid, with so many different immigrant groups and a small town, including lots of former prisoners. It was depressing. Not what we had in mind for starting a family. The transmission finally blew on our old car, too. They moved to the Des Moines area, where both landed jobs in an Ankeny fiberglass company. Dimitri worked the assembly line. Irina operated a forklift, stacking 50-pound boxes without the 3-inch heels. I had to hide my pregnancy to keep that job, she recalled. After that, Dimitri became a project manager for a construction company, and Irina a jewelry manager for Yonkers. She became pregnant with her second child while working for Hubble Homes in new construction sales. Our entire department got laid off on New Year's Eve. Happy New Year, she remembered. Irina said those were the scary times because they had just bought a house. However, serendipity came to the rescue, and she began her favorite job ever, working at Homemakers in sales. In 2006, the couple quit their jobs and opened Irina's restaurant on 50th and E.P. True Parkway. Business grew well, but there were problems with infrastructure crumbling. The couple began looking for a new building, and a strange opportunity popped up. Razzmatazz in Urbandale had an illicit image and at least one shooting. We visited one night, and all they sold was Heineken and Hennessy. The smoke was so thick that we got high on secondhand smoke. The VIP club smelled like sex, Irina recalled. Despite the building being on a 1-year liquor license ban, the couple bought it in 2008. There was mold growing in the coolers and refrigerators. There was a strange green goo all over, she recalled. The couple decided that they had to gut the place to its studs. Inside one piece of drywall, they found stashes of what looked like illegal drugs. Oh, we made some homeless dumpster diver very happy if he found it, Irina laughed. Maybe because of that stash, the place was vandalized one night. To drum up business for 6 months without a liquor license, they offered a pay-what-you-want service. They got publicity from Europe and England as well as across the U.S., and they actually increased their revenue during the offer by 46%. Then came the flood of 2010. While a new roof was being installed, a roofer failed to secure plastic covering during a rain. There were 12 inches of water on the floor. Everything turned moldy, even the inside of wine corks. We had to get the entire place gutted again, and we were closed another 5 months, she said. It's been 23 years since the couple became U.S. citizens and 14 years since the last biblical-sized setback. The couple now owns Irina's Steak and Seafood in West Des Moines. I still don't love the weather, but the people are so nice and so supportive. I get tired of hearing people complain. This is the land of opportunity. If you come to work hard, you can make a very good life here. I also believe Iowa is a lucky place. If you do a kindness, it comes back to reward you 10 times over, she concluded. And now to Joe's Neighborhood by Joe Wieg. Bad luck as comedy? A knitting needle in your tushy. Bad luck is bad luck, true enough. But there are certainly different types of bad luck. There's the really bad luck of being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it's a matter of life or death. Like getting trapped by a falling boulder and having to cut off your arm to survive. Ouch. That's what happened to motivational speaker Aaron Ralston. Or the bad luck of being caught out in the winter storm with no visibility and freezing winds and having to hold on to an ice-covered rope to get from the barn to the house, a.k.a. Little House on the Prairie. Who wants that? And it is certainly bad luck to stumble upon a bull shark that travels 700 miles up the Mississippi River only to snack on you during Shark Week. That's such bad luck that it weirdly seems like just desserts for the shark. But then there is the other kind of bad luck that's just mildly unlucky. The cry comes from upstairs. "Joe, can you come fast?" my wife said in a high voice, tinged with controlled panic. I do, and I find my wife with a knitting needle sticking in her butt. By the way, my very precise granddaughter informs me that I cannot say the word but. "Really, Juliet, so what can I say? Derriere, Fanny?" "No, Grandpa, tushy." "Okay, folks, there's a knitting needle sticking in my wife's tushy." A very skinny U.S. size one for you crazy knitters out there. Now, you are probably not very sympathetic to this scenario, but knitting needles are long and sharp and are essentially a stiletto knife, which is automatically considered a dangerous weapon under Iowa Code Section 702.7. And there's a reason for that. Quote, "Stilettos were developed in late medieval and Renaissance Italy as anti-armor knives. The slenderness of a stiletto blade focuses the force of the attack into a tiny area, which multiplies its pressure enormously, and this means that it could pierce plate armor or cut through chain metal rings." Yep, a knitting needle is an anti-armor weapon just waiting for an unsuspecting knitter to blindly impale herself or himself. In fact, a search online revealed how dangerous this dangerous weapon can be. The British Medical Journal reported a fatal brain injury caused by a baby rolling off a changing table onto a knitting needle. ABC News reported a knitting needle piercing a woman's heart after she tripped on the stairs. And the Journal of Cardiothoracic Surgery reported a knitting needle ascended the body of a woman for 33 years after a self-induced abortion. My goodness, who knew? Story after story after story, and I don't even count all the articles about knitters poking themselves in the thigh. That seems like a prerequisite to even being called a knitter. Okay, a knitting needle is no joke. But a knitting needle in your tushy? In a few days, it will be 43 years since I married my wife. It was a forced marriage, of course, forced by me. Here's a surprise for my reader. I am not quite the catch my wife is. Therefore, I had to propose quickly, 2 weeks after we met, so as to lock down the sale before my wife could reflect on my personality and good looks and her future in-laws. So I tread lightly in the area of wife humor. But a knitting needle in the tushy? I wanted to take a photo, but my guardian angel cautioned against the clever idea, and I wanted to suggest that we all call the neighbors and charge admission. I might have done so in the early days of our marriage, but 33 years later, perhaps too soon. So I bit the inside of my lip and I treated the puncture wound, as any good husband would do. and bided my time. Well, I have bided long enough, but now I'm having second thoughts about becoming Mr. Jokester. I remember back in law school, an old professor would always ask us students to consider whose ox is being gored. In other words, who is really paying the price for what happened? Isn't the person with a knitting needle in their tushy really the one being gored? How dare I make fun of someone else's pain, particularly if that someone else is my sweetie? But knock, knock, who's there? Needle. Needle who? Need a little more target practice before your next sweater? Yep, I cracked myself up. Joe, formerly married to Teresa. That's from Joe Vig, who spent 31 years bumping around this town as a prosecutor for the Polk County Attorney's Office. Now retired, he writes about frequently overlooked people, places, and events in Des Moines on his blog. Well, that does it for this third episode of City View for February of 2024. And thanks for sharing your time with IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. If you have any questions about this or other IRIS programs, you know you can always call 515-243-6833. Thanks again for listening.